from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
24 and a half. What is wrong with me? Jaguars Monday.
They're terrible.
Underway.
I mean, Florida State, which does not have a great defense,
right,
held them without convert. They didn't convert one third down against Florida State. And Florida State's a good team. Don't get me wrong. Good. They have a good defense, but it's not Alabama's defense.
Good point. We got a week to think about it. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco down in South Florida. We'll recap the 28-21 loss to the Buffalo Bills. Explosive plays were a big issue given
up. My goodness.
Officiating, as you heard, was
awful.
A bit of an issue as well.
Awful.
We'll break down the Jaguars' offense. Bortles running the ball a bit yesterday, and the defense playing well against the run, at least early. Those explosive
plays
got
two
him.
Plays. Yeah. They lost defensively. It was a great effort, except for two plays. But that doesn't – those count, by the way. They count.
They do count, yes. We'll get to the injury report as well and go around the National Football League. We'll take your calls in the Irritate Boselli segment and look at PFF grades for this game, too, which should be interesting.
Pete, yay. Oh, you know my favorite thing about the PFF last night, Pete? Were you watching the game?
Yeah.
And so I
the late game, right?
Yeah, I finally went to bed. Yeah. I was so tired. And I was so fed up with football in general after watching just the whole deal. But I watched it till mid-fourth maybe or sometime. It was pretty late. And if I have to hear Chris Collinsworth, who I like and I think is very good at what he does, talk about his buddies at PFF calling him and telling him what the grades are for individual players in the middle of it. That
Justin Houston has a 5.5 in the first
5.5. I'm like, first of all, no one knows what that means.
Right.
I mean – great.
And how are they grading it, Tony?
As they're watching it, Pete, that's really realistic. I have no idea.
You know who owns PFF, don't
you? Yeah, Chris.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Self-serving.
Yeah, he's going to – you missed a good game, by the way, when you went to bed.
I was too tired, Pete. Man, I couldn't do it. I've been up since – I got up at 10 till 5.
I turned it off at 10:30, yep.
Some controversial –
well, the fact that he tried to kick a 62-yard field goal is unreal.
Yeah, but forget about that. There was another one earlier, and we'll get into that when we talk around the league because I got some real thoughts on that one.
Okay.
So we've touched officiating. I think that is what it is. I don't know if we have to dig into that much more.
No, it's just awful. And I'm not saying – listen, this team's 2-9, and you are what your record says you are.
Right.
And so I'm not saying that they would be – you know, have a much better record or anything else. I'm just saying yesterday's game – and the fumble, as bad as a call as that was, it's in the first half. And Pete's right. Good teams overcome that. But what drives me crazy, when the game's on the line, those officials have to be aware of what's going on and the importance of their calls at that moment. And something as obvious as pass interference, where it's not even a deep ball where two guys are going up and fighting for it. I actually have the opinion, when that's the case, let them play. Don't throw it. If both guys are fighting for the ball, them play. It's end of the game. Yeah. Let it go. But if it's as clear as a day where a guy is beaten and he is grabbing the opponent and pulling him away from where he's trying to go to catch the ball as it is in the air, you have to call that. And when a guy steps out of bounds, the clock stops. That's just – maybe they didn't know the rules. I don't know. It's atrocious. But you're still 2-9. It's
Hey, Pete, national perspective on this.
Oh, gosh, please. Do we have to know what the man – I don't care what the national perspective
is. Well, I want
to
hear Pete's view of this thing. Was it as bad as Mr. Boselli here is saying?
They don't care. The national perspective is
– I didn't ask you, Tony.
That is. Let me tell you. They don't care. They don't care about the Jaguars, and they don't care about the call. That's because when you're 2-9, nobody cares.
Well, and again, officiating, I'm a big believer. It all evens out at some point.
Not this year, Pete.
Bad teams, it's magnified because they're bad football teams, Tony. Come on, let's be real about it.
Pete, I'm not talking about anything else. About if that call happened against the Dallas Cowboys, there would be a national uproar. If that cost the Cowboys a game.
They'd add like three
officials. Right, but nine times out of ten, when you're a good team, those calls don't cost you a game because they're not being made because your team's winning by 14 points or something.
Let's go back. They're playing the Steelers in that tight game.
Right. Okay.
And at the end of the game, third in the – critical, and they're down. They have to score a touchdown. And Dez Bryant runs a comeback route and one of the Steelers' corners grabs Dez Bryant and yanks him back so he can't get to the ball, and no flag is thrown, there it is lead SportsCenter, by the way.
Well, yeah, because they're a good team and people pay attention to them.
That's my point, Pete. So don't tell me.
It was a bad call, Tony, but look, there are a lot of plays and calls and decisions that determine the outcome of the game.
Officiating's awful this year. It's awful.
Well, they need to add an eighth official.
They need to get new. They need to. You know what they need to do is put an ad on Craigslist and go get a whole new group of them and try them out. Competition, boys.
You sound whiny today, Tony. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm just mad. I actually like most of the officials, but right now they're on my bad side.
No, but JP, now that you asked me the question and Tony answered it without allowing me to answer the question, like
Pete, I'm right though. I'm right though, aren't I, Pete?
The perception, Tony's right. The perception out there is that people don't pay attention to Jacksonville because they're not a good football team and they're small market and nobody cares right now. I mean, that's it. Bottom line. Yeah, if you don't win, people don't care. Period. End of story. Now, I'm watching the game in here with all the other games on, and we got a bunch of people in here doing it. And you know, the joke is I got to have the Jaguars game in front of me on the big screen because I got to watch it. And they all make fun of them on a regular basis. I mean, that's just basically who they are. Yeah. I mean, that's what guys do. But I was watching that game yesterday, and I came away from it. My brother actually sent me a text during the game, and he said, "This team looks good." In the first half, they looked like a good football team. They were attacking the quarterback. They moved the ball in the opening drive. They had rhythm. The young players were showing up. They looked like a good football team yesterday at times. Really good.
The problem is this team does not capitalize on opportunities, and they're not good enough to overcome that. And most teams aren't. And the perfect example of that is you go down and score, you get a three and out, your defense plays a great first drive, you get the ball back, you get a first down or two, and you have a third and five, great play call, wheel route to your slot receiver, ball is perfectly thrown, it's dropped. And now you're punting. Instead of being down on like the 20-yard line, getting ready to go put more points on the board and making it a 10 or 14 nothing ball game with all the momentum and really making a statement, you have to punt it away. And then you just kind of meander around the rest of your defense. When your defense is playing the way they are, you have to take advantage of those times. And right now this offense doesn't. And then you add special teams on top of it of just punt returns and just dumb things. It erases everything that you've accomplished defensively as far as the scoreboard. And that's the problem, Pete. They don't take advantage of the opportunities that are laid there in front of them.
But, like, I sit there and I watch it and I go, but I tell you what, whoever does coach that team next year is inheriting some good football players, particularly on defense, young good football players.
Well, they are, but the way the second half started was awful.
Yeah.
And
Was that Tayshaun Gibson?
I'll go through the whole thing. So here's my problem, and – by the way, Pete, I'm not talking about who's – because I know sooner or later you're going to want to talk about who's the next coach going to be, and I'm not doing it. So just to put the disclaimer out there, I'm not having that conversation. I have no interest in that conversation. But
me and JP will have that conversation.
That's fine. You guys can talk about it all you want, and I'm not going to engage in it, and that's fine. You guys want to talk about it, go for it. But the job of a coach is to put their players in a position to have success. It's one of the jobs. Would you not agree?
Yes.
And when you set up the defense, and Todd Walsh has done an outstanding job, in my opinion, as a defense coordinator, a really good job, and the numbers back it up. When you set up a defense against one of the top rushers in the NFL and top rushing attacks in the NFL, where you have two free guys sitting there to make a play, and both of them watch as LeSean McCoy runs by them, that's a problem. And what happened is they're in cover two, Pete, two-high safety look, and in cover two – I know you know the speed. I'll explain it for everyone listening. The corners are part of the run support. They have run responsibility because they're playing press, you're playing up, and you have two high safeties. In the alignment that they're in, Jalen had to set the backside edge. He had outside leverage. The way they were calling the defense is because Buffalo was a heavy run team, and the option, the high safety, had run responsibility as well. We're going to be more aggressive. They were going to take some chances and say, listen, if we get over the hit over the top, that's fine. We're going to take away the run. And that's what they had been doing. Jalen sets the edge. LeSean bounces it backside to Jalen and starts cutting it upfield. From watching it, Gibson is coming down, and all he has to do is sit in that hole, and they have him corralled.
He probably gets like 5 yards.
No, he gets 0 yards. It's on the line of scrimmage. Okay. And for whatever reason, Tashaun Gibson jumps outside with Jalen.
Yeah, I couldn't figure
out. I have no idea. And not only jumps outside, but then gets in Jalen's way. Now, could Jalen been more aggressive? Yes. I understand possibly why it wasn't, because if he's too aggressive and he jumps outside, yeah. Now there's no outside leverage. Right. Tashaun Gibson is sitting right there. But you have two unblocked defenders to make that play. Neither do it. Off to the races. And now all of a sudden you're down after dominating the game because you didn't take advantage of opportunities in the first half when you controlled the entire game. Special team woes on the punt team again.
43-yarder, yep.
And that's how you lose. That's why you lose games. Take away the officiating, take away everything else. You take advantage of the opportunities, that game is you're kneeling down. And where Pete's correct, then you don't allow the official to be involved because you're taking a knee because you've dominated the game.
Hey,
that
Tony,
team is better. The Jaguars are better than Buffalo. Now, I say that from watching the game. It's not fair to Buffalo because they have a better record. But watching the game
– Yeah. I mean, they're definitely toe-to-toe with them, and they're just as good as they are. Was Alo-Alo at fault on that play too?
No, he is. His assignment is to crash down. The way they designed the run, they were taking – each guy had responsibility because it was almost like a college game, Pete, because of all the zone read, and ran triple option. So, no, he was down. He was crashing backside, take away the run inside. And that's why Tashaun Gibson's supposed to come down that backside gap with Jalen Ramsey setting the edge outside, and they're both right there.
All right. I have one more question. I know we got to go to break, but on the touchdown where he ran it himself, was Jack got blocked, it looked like, off the TV tape.
Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah. When it looked like Jack got blocked and the two linebackers got blocked getting over to try and fill that hole over there.
You talking about the first half, the triple option, the pitch?
Yeah.
When he pitches it to him? Yeah, they did a good job blocking that up. And the only guy who can maybe become a little more aggressive, it would have been a tough play. It probably would have still been a first down because I think they had still the ability to get a first down at that time. Tashaun Gibson, if he can get through some of the traffic, but there was a lot of traffic. It was a well-designed play. They did a good job.
We'll come back and break down the Jags' offense. How did Blake Bortles play? How did the tight ends play?
I'm besides myself, JP. I'm frustrated.
The running game. 183 yards on the ground. We'll break it all.
He's frustrated and he's whining. It's like a combination of the two.
I'm not whining, Pete. I didn't whine. I said, good team. If you take care of business, the official's not an issue. But you can't deny that play right there was poorly officiated and it affected the outcome.
The Jagsgiving Sweepstakes is back. Register to win an epic on-field experience at the Christmas Eve game against the Titans, including 4 tickets to the game, parking, pregame field passes, and more. Visit jaguars.com/Jagsgiving, and entries accepted through December 4th. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
The one on A-Rob was brutal. I don't know how that one called. Yeah, that was bad. Did you get fined for saying that? Well, might as well just keep talking then, huh? Yeah, that was horrible then. Jesus. I don't know how that... Okay, I'm done.
It was Blake Bortles post-game yesterday in Buffalo discussing...
He won't get fined for that.
...the officiating. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, your calls coming up in the second hour tonight.
You know what? I'll say this about Blake, man. Blake's good after games and stand up for everything that he does, and he's accountable. And you know his body language, and we've talked about it before in time, he mopes and whines and everything else on the field. But I got to give him the props, man. That kid will come out and face the music and talk about things.
Let me ask you, Tony. I know you guys talked about it on the broadcast when it happened, but after the interference call, You saw Blake kind of over there upset about it. And then Loggeman was saying he was chirping with somebody on the way back towards the huddle or towards the sideline or something. Did that contribute maybe to the time, not getting the playoff in time?
On the, Jeff saw game? It, so I wasn't paying attention. Okay. I was screaming at the official, and Jeff was looking at down the field. Right. So, yeah, Jeff said that he was late getting back to the huddle. I think he was because, you know, as he's messing around with the official or the player, whoever did, Stephon Gilmore, who caught, had the pass interference, you know, that takes away time. The play clock starts, and they were late getting to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. So that probably had something to do with it. But the biggest thing is Blake has to be aware and understand the situation and look at the play clock.
Run game, 183 yards for this Jaguars offense on the ground. Chris Ivory at the start of this game was really had something going until the hamstring injury, it looked like.
Yeah, if Ivory doesn't get hurt, I think it's a completely different game for the Jaguars because they were dominating them on the run the first two series that he was in. Nine carries, 43 yards, something 44 like yards, almost 5 yards a carry.
44
yards, just under 5 yards a carry. Really were, I mean, just taking it right to him. He went out and the run game did suffer. Denard came in, did a night, you know, filled in. TJ, hats off to TJ because he was not even close to 100%. He gutted it out, which was big. He had a big third down run, big in protection because he's the best pass protector of the group. And he's a, you know, and I said this morning on the Prossers and Hickens show, if anyone, one thing you can't question about this team is how hard they play. And, Pete, you know this as well as I do. A lot of times in a locker room after you lost 5 in a row and you're 2-8 and things are going sideways and there's questions about the coaching, future of the coaches and everything else, guys lay down. And especially if they're nicked. And no one would have faulted TJ if he didn't play because his ankle was bad enough where he didn't – I mean, he had to convince them that he was ready to play. He did. And it says something to me about him and a lot of guys in that locker room who basically – they're true pros. And I take my hat off to TJ because the easy way out for a lot of guys is I'm nicked. We're 2-8. Who cares? I'll wait till I get healthy.
That's also younger players will do that, will want to play. An older TJ might have said, I'm checking out of this one.
I don't know, but Pete. I think it's a character thing, not a age thing.
I don't know. You've been around the league long enough, Tony. You've seen veterans who are dinged and nicked and bad team. They'll check it out.
That's my point. I don't like that. I don't think you should. You'd be a pro. TJ's a pro.
Yeah, and they, you're right. They do play hard. And you know, you saw some when he scored that touchdown, you saw a lot of emotion from younger players. Like the game was a big game to them. And
it's important.
It clearly isn't. Yeah.
It is,
I mean,
to
that's
them.
A good sign. Like I said, whoever coaches next year is going to inherit some decent football, good football players.
Blake Bortles ran for 81 yards yesterday on 8 carries, including a 27-yarder. And obviously when Ivory went out, they had to find some kind of way to complement the running game.
Well, a couple of those are on scrambles, too, and he did a good job because the Bills were playing some two-man, which is hard to throw against. But what that does, if the rush doesn't get there, there's any lanes, everyone's backs to them, to their receiver, and they're playing chase because they have over-the-top safety help. So there's some gaping opportunities for run, and Blake did that. He saw it and took off the cover. There was no one there. He had some big scramble yards, and then he had a couple zone reads. You know, he did a good job overall. And the good thing is, he never took a hit. He got down, so there's no wear and tear on him.
So he has a future as a wishbone quarterback then.
So now you're saying you shouldn't scramble, Pete? I just want to make sure I understand.
What I'm saying, no, because I saw. I think it was Hayes Carline wrote something in the paper today about, oh, well, they should use his running ability and make him a runner. And
no, I don't think so at all. I think he only ran 2 zone reads, maybe 3. The rest of them were all scrambles from the quarterback position.
Which they wanted to get to a little more when he had an opportunity to run and everything broke down. Go ahead, run. Get some yardage.
You should.
Right. Yeah. If you can't – but ideally, you want to scramble to throw, not scramble to run, but he made big plays off of it, so I get it. But, you know, you were talking about the run game and how effective they were running the football. When I think of running the football and big totals and big yardage running the football, and, Tony, I know you're an offensive lineman, so you think about this the exact same way. You think of, like, a team like Dallas pounding on people for 170, or when Miami ran for 180 you know, pounding it and getting big runs from the backs and that kind of thing. I think more of that being a dominant run game than what they got yesterday. Did they run it? Sure. They ran it. But what did he have, 90?
80.
How many did he have, 80?
81.
Yeah.
I don't consider – I consider the zone read a part of the run game. I do not consider scramble yards. I would take those out. Those aren't – Pete's right. I mean, I never thought of that. It's like, oh, we ran the ball well today. Well, Mark had 80 yards because he was under pressure running for his life. That's not really – and I'm not saying Blake was running for his life. That doesn't count in my book. It does in the overall
when you
stats.
Went to Buffalo in the playoffs in 96 and Natron was running wild, you ran
them.
The ball.
Yeah, that was a physical mash them
right.
up front. And,
right.
and Natron was a big part of it. He ran really
right.
well.
Right. But scramble yards, to me, yeah, they matter. They're good to have, but that's not mashing somebody.
No, it's a good element of the offense. If you have a quarterback who can do that, it stresses the defense big time. I mean,
yes, but you don't want it to be the primary weapon of that quarterback.
And it's not Blake's primary weapon.
I don't think so either.
How did the other weapon do yesterday through the air for Blake? Looked I mean, a little at times, looked a little cleaner, right?
It's funny. I left that game thinking, okay, this was his best game. But then I went and looked at the statistics. He's 13 for 26, so 50% is not really good. He had
some drops.
He had one drop or two drops, one by Marquise and one big one by Allen Hurns. You know, only 126 yards. What was good? He didn't make any dumb decisions. And in the past, he's had opportunity. He's gotten away with not throwing interceptions, but it's because the other team drops them. There was no drop picks or plays. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he threw that. Yeah. I mean, the closest one to that was a crossing route. He had no business throwing to Allen Hurns because he was going to get him killed.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, but Tony, his touchdown pass to Marquise Lee, if the safety doesn't trip over himself, it's a pick the other way.
I'm not sure about that, Pete. I think Marquise did a good job of cutting off and breaking off in front and using his
body.
No,
the other safety. The other safety.
I'd have to watch.
Go look at it.
I didn't notice that watching it the first time, but you might be right. I didn't see it that way.
Saw it. And Blake never saw him.
He would have had to go through Marquise to make the play.
No, he would have gotten in front of the football.
No,
go look at it.
I will tell you, there was a guy corner covering him that was in trail, and the safety behind him in the end zone. Maybe he would have broke it up.
No, it was the safety from the other hash that was coming across, and he tripped on himself. I don't think
he would have made it, Pete.
I do.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, and it was a good ball.
It was. Yeah, but. Yeah, I don't think he ever saw that. But look, I'm being nitpicky, okay? Because the ball hit him in the stomach, and it was a good throw, and it was a touchdown. But if you look, the safety trips making the play, and he would have been able to. I don't know if he would have picked it off. He would have batted it down.
I mean, what do you want, Pete? The guy threw a touchdown pass.
I'm a stickler for detail.
Yeah, you are.
But, I mean, 13 for 26 isn't good.
No.
100 and whatever.
I'll give you one. That was a touchdown pass that might not have been. The throw to Allen Hurns was a thing of beauty.
Perfect.
Should have been
perfect.
A big play.
Yes.
And one's a negative and one's a positive, but when you look at it and you evaluate it, sometimes they show up differently in my book.
Well, another thing is I thought that was encouraging was the tight end play. I thought he made some good plays to Neil Sterling and Ben Koyak, and I thought especially Neil Sterling catching the ball in traffic on third down when you need your tight end to make plays, which we have not seen.
He had one of those in London, too, if you remember.
Well,
right.
Okay, well, let's just talk about yesterday.
Yeah.
We had not seen that.
Yeah.
And Julius Thomas is gone. Goodbye.
I would, based on what I saw yesterday, I would start Neil Sterling and Ben Koyak with Alex Ellis as my third tight end.
Alex Ellis looked like he did some – I couldn't tell. I didn't have the 22, but looked like he did some good blocking in there.
I just told you, Pete, I would start Neil Sterling and Ben Koyak. Sterling is my third down tight end. Koyak is my starting tight end with Alex Ellis in run situations as my second tight end. That's what
right,
I would
but
do.
But he did a good job, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah overall. He got hammered one time on a lead play, but he did a good job. No, I thought they played good. Ben Koyak had a big catch over the middle, outstretched, knowing he's going to get hammered, catches with his hands. The two catches by Neil Sterling on third down situations and traffic, reaching out, using his hands, creating enough separation. Blake threw it in there very accurately. It was good. But here's the problem. When they had a chance in the first half, they didn't take advantage of it. And that's all of them. But it starts – the quarterback is the most important of the group. He drives the bus. And in the first half, you have to take advantage of those opportunities, and they didn't.
Jerry Hughes blew up Koyak on a play, too.
Oh, no, I'm not a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll come back.
That happens, though. Those are good football players over there.
That's right. We'll come back. Defensive side. Good first half. What happened in the second half for this
two
team?
Two plays. That's all that happened, JP. That's all you got to know. It's two plays. That's what happened.
All right. We'll get to the injury report when we come back, though, since Tony has it all figured out. The Southern Chevy dealers
are
giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Now, we're going to stay with defense just to hear Tony's take on it. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I've always said, never let this record define this team. Because I promise you, if you show up on Sunday and you see it, look at that record and you play like that, we embarrass you. But we just got to learn how to win situations and eliminate those big plays. Because, man, the offense gave us points today. Defense just didn't get it done.
Telvin Smith, Jaguars linebacker, in the locker room yesterday in Buffalo. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Your calls coming up in the second hour.
Oh, I can't wait.
In the Irritate Boselli
segment. I know you
can't.
You're excited about that, aren't you, Tony?
Can you stop coughing?
What's he doing?
He's coughing.
I'm coughing, but I have a cough button to hide it.
Yeah,
it's a radio show. They can't know it.
Yeah, but I know. You're like hawking loogies on me. I mean,
oh, my God.
That's awful.
You hitting the
definitely
cough.
Overselling this,
you,
Pete.
You hitting the cough button might save everyone else, but the phlegm that is hitting me in the side of the face doesn't help. So I get a wall or something between us. My goodness.
I wish we was off to look at you. I got news for you. Defense, first half. Boy, they 5 yards on the first drive for Buffalo, no yards in the second, 31 yards a punt, the four straight punts, the fumble that should have been, then the short field they gave up the touchdown before halftime. But you can't ask much more from the defense of the first half there.
Yeah, you can. Don't let them score. Force a field goal.
Okay. That's the only thing you can ask.
You said you can't ask for more.
You can't ask much more.
Not much more. You can't. They played very well.
They
played good football. What is getting lost in this entire thing, which I understand, and no one wants to hear my, you know, positive views of anything about this organization right now.
Yeah, we do.
Which I get. What's getting lost is what a great job Todd Walsh and that defensive staff have done with that group. This was the worst defense in the NFL last year. And Dave – and Gus added players, and Gus has a lot of influence this year. He's spending more time with the defense. But it's Todd Walsh's defense, and Todd is doing a great job. And that's getting overlooked because of the 2-9 record. But I don't know where they rank right now, but they were
top 10.
They're top 10 defense.
Yep, I'll pull it up.
And if I would have gone on this radio before the season and said they're going to be a top 10 defense, everybody would have said, sunshine pumper, oh, you're ridiculous. Oh, you're just saying that because you're really – and I didn't say it because I wasn't sure they could make that big a jump. But they are the sixth-rated defense.
Third against the pass, by the way.
On a team where they're not getting a lot of help from special teams or offense. It's a good unit.
It has a lot of young players, talented players, and you know Malik Jackson. Every team needs a Malik Jackson. I mean, the guy's a physical beast. I mean, he's a good football player. And Gagwe's playing great football. Fowler still can't rush the passer.
Plays the run really well.
Yeah, he does. He's good against the run. But there were about four plays, Tony, where I watched him spin right back in, right into.
Well, he has one of the worst spin moves I've ever seen because he like.
All he does is spin in place.
And he spins when he's too far away, so he like just spins right into the chest of the individual. A good spin move is when you stress him with speed and you get to that where you're threatening him and you get him to turn enough and then you plant that inside foot and spin back and pin him with your backside arm and they have no chance. But if you just spin in place, they're like, okay, you're blocking yourself. It's awful.
But he does do two things. He plays hard.
My gosh.
He's good against the run.
And he has zero regard for his body. That dude, hits people as hard as anyone on this team and in the league. I mean, he is a wrecking ball out there. And in the run, if he can figure out a pass rush, which I think you can, I mean, young guys struggle. He's never done it. I mean, he just hasn't done it. So I think he'll figure it out. And Ngakoue is a natural pass rusher who's only going to get better. It's good. You know, defense is good. Miles Jack's going to be a good Mike linebacker one day. Telvin Smith. You're going to have to pay Telvin Smith here sooner or later. Mm-hmm. It's going to be expensive. You know, they got some Jalen Ramsey. He did get beat on that play. It's just bad technique by him. He's running stride for stride with him.
Turn around.
Nope. He turned too early, Pete. What he needs to do, he needs to run with them until he sees his hands go up. And as soon, the way you teach, and this is how Seattle, this is how a lot of guys teach corner man-to-man corner play. Zone's different. But if you're in press man, you run with them, and you don't turn your head until they reach their hands out for the ball.
Because you turn too early, though.
You turn too early. And when you turn too early, you lose a half a step. And then he had trouble locating it, and by the time he located it, he's a half step behind, and it was a perfectly thrown ball. Now, if that ball is a half a yard underthrown, he breaks it up.
Right. Even it turning too early, if he locates it quicker, he's going to bat the ball away.
But if he waits, Pete, if he does the right technique, he stride for stride, sees the hands turn, intercept or knock away.
But what about the other touchdown? I couldn't see on the TV.
Cover two. That is, in my opinion, that is on Cyprian. He's got to get over the top. He's the high safety there. And the Bills held Jalen underneath with a flat wide receiver. So he had to respect the receiver. He could not drop, sink too deep because they had a flat a guy in the flat out there. So that is Cyprian's guy. He's got to get over there.
He had one of his worst games yesterday.
I don't think he played very well.
Yep.
Yeah, now, he made some nice plays, but overall I don't think he played very well.
Right. Missed McCoy in the open field on the one play.
Yep, big play.
More on Malik Jackson. I mean, he's been quietly having a very good year.
He's a good player.
But he's at a position where he's not going to get a lot of fanfare there. But now, he had two sacks yesterday.
Now, one of the sacks, though, this is what I hate about defensive linemen. I mean, it is the most – the sack is the most overvalued statistic. I'll use an example last night. Von Miller was a great player. He got one of his sacks because Derek Wolfe. I mean, he's falling back inside on a loop. He's like a yard off the line of scrimmage because Derek Wolfe disrupts it so much and creates such havoc that the quarterback steps up into Von Miller's hands. It wasn't a great pass rush. It was a great pass rush by Derek Wolfe. He got no credit for it. One of Malik's rushes, he was a coverage guy. It was a zone blitz. He dropped in – no, it wasn't even zone blitz. They just rushed three. He dropped in the coverage. There was no one open, so Tyrod Taylor started scrambling. Malik sees it, does a great athletic – makes a very athletic play.
Von Miller, yes.
No, I'm talking Malik yesterday.
Malik, yes.
Makes a very athletic play and tackles him for a three-yard loss, which is a sack. But it wasn't like it was a pass rush. Now, the other one – now he has some good pass rushes he doesn't get credit for getting the sack either, and he's disruptive. So I'm not taking anything away from Malik, but I just laugh at – but I laugh at this – sacks as a statistic, and part of it's because as an offensive lineman, there were games where I'd shut someone out and I'd look up and they had a sack. I'm like, when did they get a sack? But because they were the closest person on a naked when they ran the guy out of bounds, they get a sack.
Which is why you got to evaluate, I mean, because there's plenty of plays where Von Miller gets pressure and doesn't
exactly
get a sack.
Exactly right. You know what I think is a better statistic, Pete? Is pressures. Pressures and hits.
I would tend to, but still, you get paid by sacks.
No, you do. No, I'm not saying. I mean, Von. I'm not.
I mean, nine times out of ten, Von Miller's sacks come because Von Miller beat his guy at the line of scrimmage.
My example about Von Miller was not taking anything away from Von Miller. It just made me think about last night. Yeah. He's a heck of a player.
Oh yeah, and so was Justin Houston last night.
Oh, beast,
unbelievable. We'll come back. The injury report. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Right, the JTA Game Day Express. And park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. Injury report. The Irritate Baselli segment is around the corner as well. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know what, man? We feel so positive about what we got as a team. I mean, honestly, our record don't show
how we feel and how we feel like we play. You know, for some odd reason, we just continue to fall short and not pull through and end a game. We're a tough team. We go out, we play hard, we play great defense. Our offense was rolling today, and we just keep coming up short. So we got to figure out how to get over that hump, and I think it's going to take some soul searching, but we're willing to do it.
Cinderic Marks.
Did he say the offense was rolling?
That's what he said, yeah. We can play it back if you want.
What they've done in recent games, it probably felt like they were rolling. Particularly in first quarter. That was the first time they scored in the opening drive since week two of last season.
Yeah, the first touchdown. Yes. Yeah, since then. Yeah.
First touchdown. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't classify as rolling. I'd say the defense is rolling, but I wouldn't say the offense is rolling.
Well, they had a couple other scoring drives in the second half and moved the ball a little bit in those, right? I know. I'm with you. I'm just trying to see maybe his point of view.
How many yards?
They weren't rolling, JP.
Okay,
they were not rolling.
Okay, I mean, great. You got it. Okay, they weren't rolling. They weren't rolling.
We had a 306 yards of total offense, or 307. Correct? If I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it's about 301.
301.
Yeah.
Having just over 300 yards of offense in today's NFL is not rolling.
Well, they scored 21 points. When was the last time the offense scored 21 points?
21 points in today's NFL is not rolling.
I know.
Rolling is scoring like 28, 31, 40 yards offense.
Like the Saints.
There's nothing rolling about that. Nothing.
Okay. Easy enough. So Sin was wrong. They weren't rolling on off.
I like him being positive, though. I appreciate that. That's good.
We need more of that around.
He needs to say that. I'm just commenting from our point of view. I mean, they need to be positive. I mean, what's the point of being negative? You get enough. Just go on Twitter and some of these people following me. My goodness.
Or just listen to Tony talk.
I mean, I'm positive.
Listen to Pete talk.
Did you see the one JP tweeted out something that said our guy Tony Baselli's a little salty today, and somebody tweeted back and said counteracts all the sugar he uses on Gus.
Wow.
It's pretty funny, actually.
How about that? Pretty sharp. Injury report. Banged up football team a little bit. Alan Hearns, a hamstring strain while scoring that touchdown. He did not return. His status will be updated. Yannick Ngakoue with an ankle injury in the fourth quarter.
Wait, but Rashad Greene, though, was not coming back in the game anyways.
I didn't say Rashad Greene. I said
Achilles.
Alan Hearns.
Oh, I thought you said Achilles. Sorry.
Are you listening? Alan Hearns had a hamstring strain.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Oh, my goodness. Yannick Ngakoue, ankle injury, late in the fourth quarter, did not return. Chris Ivory, first quarter hamstring strain, did not return.
That one hurt.
T.J. Yeldon played through the ankle sprain. They said he was 75%.
Guy's a tough guy, dude. I love it.
Here, Rashad Greene, Achilles issue after the first two punt muffs.
He wasn't coming back to return punts no matter what.
I agree. And apparently Gus Bradley said the decision had been made to switch to Brian Walters regardless of the injury. So that's what I just said,
JP.
I know. I'm just saying. Peyton Thompson, safety, a sprained ankle, collided with the sideline chain crew while covering a punt.
That's not good.
And other guys who were not in the game to begin with. Avery Jones, ankle injury. Audric with a shoulder. Thomas, a bad back. Scooter with a bad back. And Chris Smith with his eye injury. They all missed the game. They'll be on the report.
I got a bad back right now, too. My back's tight. I heard it working out this morning.
You're going to be on the report this week, Tommy.
I'm questionable right now for tomorrow morning's workout. That much. Questionable.
I'm always questionable for tomorrow morning's workout.
I'm usually in or probable, but right now my back is tight. Put the MASH music back up for me.
Old man.
Well, yeah. At least I do something, Pete. You know, when's the last time you worked out?
Yesterday.
Eating does not count. That's not considered a workout. What'd you do? But walk to your car?
No, I work out. I try and work out 4 or 5 days a week.
Wow.
But it's still fat ball season, though.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not showing very well.
Well, you have to hook me up with Dr. DSBSSSOSSO.
Give me the call. I'll get you the number.
I can't wait to hear you on that commercial, Pete. I got news for you.
Hi, I'm Pete Prisco for Dr. DSBSSSSO. I once was a fat ass in November, but here I am in October. I've eaten three little things for the last 4 days, and I've lost 42 pounds without even trying. Look at Tony Baselli. He once used to make fun of me. Doesn't make fun of me anymore because I'm now skinnier than he is.
With that, we should go to break.
That was so natural.
It was a little, inaccurate. You can eat more than that, Pete.
We'll come back, and the Irritate Baselli segment is here. Phone lines are open. 355.
That was pretty good, though. I'll give you credit.
NFL 1, 355-6351. PFF grades coming as well.
I want more of that from Pete when we come back.
I'm not going to discuss PFF grades tonight.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
In mere moments. After Chris Collinsworth last night and the self-promoting was just too much.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You can't control critics, you can't control, you know, anything other than what we can do is how we handle the circumstance and how we can handle where we're at right now. It's unfortunate that we're not where we wanted to be, but there's a lot of things that can be taking place here. A lot of, you know, you can see improvement in a lot of area and see these guys. I mean, the way they played and the way they go after their job is impressive to me, and you just hurt because, you know, you want those wins to come with it for the effort.
Head coach Gus Bradley today in his press conference, the day after the loss to the Buffalo Bills, when asked about if he thinks about what's happening after the season, him and the coaching staff, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. We have arrived at the Irritate Boselli segment. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get to those calls coming up. Also, the Pro Football Focus grades from yesterday's game, which will always get Tony going. He claims to always never discuss them, but he yet always discusses them.
Well, you know, I like to say, I mean, I think Justin Houston was a 5.5 yesterday.
In the first half.
And the evaluation done off the TV in the first half, Tony.
Just to
put that out there.
And me not watching anything in the fourth quarter, I'd say he dipped down to a 3.745.
And what are you basing that off of, Tony?
Just I make it up like everything else.
So you go into the thousandths.
Yeah, I'm more technical in my approach.
You are, yeah, that's deep. What you got, Pete?
All right, ready? We'll start with the offense. 1, 2, 3, 4 players were in the green, which means they had pretty good games.
Blake Bortles.
Yes.
Ivory before he got hurt, but
yes. Yes.
Marquise had a drop.
He's still in the positive, you're okay. Right there. Marquise. I'll give you that.
I thought Ben Koyak played well, but I don't know if he got enough.
No, he's not in the green, but he's in the positive. So you're accurate.
I thought
well, the other one you won't get cuz it was TJ.
I thought TJ played well. I did. I mean, he did have a great day running it, but just I don't know how they grade that, but, I mean, assignment football and doing – I mean, I thought he did a good job.
All right. The worst graded player on the offense was?
Allen Hurns.
No, but he's in the red, so you're close.
Chris Reed.
Correct. Bad. Had a bad day.
Yeah, but I don't think he was – he had a couple bad plays. And, like, the fourth down play, he got beat. And TJ tried to help and it forced Blake to throw it earlier than he wanted to. If the protection's good, I think Neil Sterling opens up after – will be open in the middle of the field after – because even before Blake throws it, the crossing route influences Preston Brown. He starts chasing it. And if Blake has time, he'll Neil Sterling for about a 12, 13-yard gain. But the pressure was immediate from over Chris Reed, Kyle Williams, who is a handful for anybody.
But he's a good player.
Very good player. Very good player. Gave Chris Reed some problems. I'm a little bit surprised there. I looked at it briefly, and I didn't see anything. I would have wanted to have Blake called the protection to whatever side Kyle Williams is on, especially over – because that's a tough matchup for Chris Reed. And they slid away from him, so he was one-on-one. TJ tried to help late, but it was too much. But
all right, so the rest of the offensive line didn't grade very well.
I thought Linder played pretty good. He had a bad sack, terrible set. I thought Parnell was okay. I thought
they gave Parnell a slight minus. They gave a positive in pass protection and negative in run protection.
Yeah, I would disagree with that. I thought Beach played fine.
Beach was a negative almost two, big negative, particularly in the run game.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like that.
He's still – I don't think he's all the way back from He doesn't have the power in his knee for the run game yet.
All right.
But
so you disagree with a couple of the offensive line grades, but other than that, pretty close.
What'd they have A-Rob at?
He is slight positive.
Okay.
And Koyak was slight positive, and they gave Ellis a decent grade.
I thought the young, the three young tight ends played well.
Game. Yeah, and they gave Sterling a slight negative. They gave a minus -7 in the run game. That's because he got whipped on that one play by Jerry Hughes. He threw
He's not a run blocking tight end, by the way. Let's not confuse it. I mean, the guy was playing tight. He was playing wide receiver at Monmouth, wherever the heck that is, 2 years ago.
New Jersey.
All right,
let's go to defense.
Everybody knows that, Tony.
Except for me.
Okay.
I'll tell you
This is what –
You know what Neil Sterling can do, though? He can catch the ball on third down and get open. Keep him out
this
there.
This will be – by the way, that was one of my ideas last summer was to move him to tight end, remember?
Well, Pete, you should be – I mean, we should hire you as a consultant.
Congratulations, Pete.
I'll take credit when I deserve it.
Yeah. You won't take any blame when you deserve it, though. All right, go to defense. We got to hurry because this segment's already boring me.
This is what's crazy about this is – this is what infuriates Baselli right here. They played pretty good defense yesterday. There's one, two, three,
two plays.
Four,
two bad
five,
plays.
Six guys in the negative.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this because it's dumb. I'm not going to have a conversation.
Ngogwe, negative.
Right there.
Malik Jackson, negative.
What?
All right. Derek Marks, negative.
Let's go. Move on.
Jalen
Ramsey,
negative.
This is stupid. This is dumb. It's a dumb segment. They judge it off a TV copy that they don't even know what they're looking at, and they don't even understand the assignments. Because I got people, you know, on Twitter saying, well, Miles Jack overran that touchdown. Well, are you sure about that? Because they had a bunch of different rules because of the option game, and that's why the safety was supposed to come down the backside to fill the gap. So before everyone starts saying what guys are supposed to be doing or not doing, understand the scheme and what they're trying to do against the particular offense they're facing. So these grades are nonsensical, and I'm tired of them. So move on.
One question, not about the grade, because they did give him a negative grade, but Sheldon Day played 21 snaps. They gave him a big minus. What do you think he did? How do you think he did, Tony?
I don't think he did much. I think Sheldon Day is a one gap, and he is going to be a good player when you have the lead and he can go rush the passer. I think his size, maybe, and not that he can't get stronger. I worry about his size and getting overwhelmed on the run downs. He has to be a one gapper. He's quick. He's great explosion. And so that's who he is right now. And so that's best played on passing situations where he can really try to get one-on-one and try to expose a less athletic guard. But holding up against a double team right now, I think it's a little bit not in his not his strength right now. Not that it can't be.
They missed
young guy.
They missed Avery Jones yesterday, too.
Pete, did they? Because outside of the one run, which Avery Jones would have nothing to do with it, they had 28 carries for 75 or 8 yards.
I know, but
less than 3 yards
still,
a carry. So I know, he's still.
Before
we say miss him, the one play that was a bust that led to 75 yards had nothing to do with Avery Jones or Sendarek Marks or Sheldon Day.
Yeah, I guess when you think about
Gibson
the way they run the
Jalen Ramsey.
The way they run the ball. Yeah, you're right. Probably not, but
he's a very good player. Avery Jones is a good player.
I think for the future, he's their nose guard.
He's had a great year. And some of these things are getting lost because of the record, which is understandable. Can we move on now?
Are you done with the grades, Pete?
Oh gosh, I was done a while.
Oh, that's it. Well, he didn't want to take part in it today.
I'm not going
to
do it. No more.
All right,
because that's dumb.
Well, we'll just do it again next week. That's fine. Let's continue the irritate Baselli segment with the phone
lines. Yes,
355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll start off in Mandarin. Ram is on the line. Ram, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Tony Baselli, I really, really agree with your passion at the beginning of the show.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm being serious.
No, I know. Thank you. Thank you. I am too.
Because it disgusts me. I know that Jaguars are 2-8 and you don't get those calls. And there's a reason they call those teams the favorite. And they get favoritism. And it's just not right. How many times this year have you heard officials pick up the – there is no penalty on the play. They can pick those flags up. That was a good play that they took away, the interception. That was clearly a fumble. And in the pass interference against A-Rob, Those are three big plays they could have. Yeah, and I'm whining about it because I feel like they discriminate against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think y'all notice about me. I'm born and raised in Duval County, and when the Jaguars were born here, it's like they're a family member to me. And
that's
I'm not one of these people who sit here and I'm not going to support them and all this other stuff and talk this craziness. It's like they're like that family member who can't get right, and you still want them to get right, and you care about them. And I'm not going to sit here and trash them and rip them. I'm not giving up on Blake Bortles. Pete Prisco, you're right. They did look like a good football team yesterday. That's the thing that troubles me. This team looks like a good football team at times, and it's just little things here and there which you can't put your finger on, and then those officials doing what they do, it really makes me upset. That Sammy Watkins play, real quick before I go, everybody's going to try to rip Jalen Ramsey. Let me tell you something. If you guys go back and look, and you were right, Tony Boselli, he did look early. You know why? Sammy Watkins made this move and made Jalen Ramsey think he was about to catch the ball, and so Jalen looked. Well, it wasn't coming yet, and then that's how he made that separation. It was a beautiful play, and Jalen has to learn from that. He's a rookie. I mean, these guys, they put the young guys out there. They're going to make some mistakes, man. I mean, but they should have had these guys in already, like the Miles Jack. I mean, I can't quote on that or everything. I can't sit here and tell
Let me jump in real quick. Jalen Ramsey, listen. Jalen Ramsey is going to be a top-flight corner in this league. If he's not,
he might already
be there. And guess what? He'll be all pro one day. And when he's all pro, he might get beat like that, because when you play bump and run man coverage all by yourself against the best receiver on the other
Sammy
team,
Watkins,
it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's
now,
why Sammy Watkins
he needs to learn
that
from.
Because he was so closed on him. That's why he made that move on him. Let me just say one positive thing before I leave. The Jags have scored 14 points at least every game this season. Go back and
that's
look.
Not good,
what
though.
Disappoints me, what disappoints me is that we can't keep anybody under 10. Look at the Bucks; they held Seattle to 5. The Rams have won 2 games by 9. How come we can't keep anybody under 10? If we can do that, we scored 14 at least each game.
I know, but here's
Thanks
the problem.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You know,
guys.
Part of the
Thank
reason
you.
is when you're minus 15, it's hard to keep teams under because you're giving possessions and a lot of times a short field. So that's why it's hard to keep teams. And 14 points is not anything to be excited about in this league. It's not. That's not good. But you know, the one thing he said about the pass interference on the interception.
Yeah, the Tashaun Gibson pick. That
in
was
my
taken away.
In my opinion, by rule, it was the wrong call. It should have been illegal contact or a hold because the contact was made before the ball was ever thrown.
It was early.
So
in the
But there was contact there.
There was contact. So if you're gonna call it like that, now it's ticky tack contact, Pete, and it happens. That's fine. But if you're gonna call it that tight, then you cannot call the one at A-Rob. You got to call it both ways. I'm fine when they call it tight or if you're going to let it go. But you can't choose to call it tight on one team and loose on the other team. It doesn't work that way. They were awful yesterday.
You know what I still can't believe is they only have one pick from the secondary all year.
Not very good.
Yeah, that's
I was trying to remember the interception. It was Gibson got it. Who was that against? I can't remember.
It was so long ago I can't remember. Baltimore.
You remember JP?
Yeah, Baltimore. It was Baltimore.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter,
That's
Baltimore.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Wow. It's been a while. Phone lines. Dave on the south side is with us. Dave, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good evening. Just had a couple quick questions. First is I'm a big fan of Corey Grant, and I was just wondering, do they have a different belief in him? I was hoping to see him run a little bit this year at running back, and yesterday I thought we might see him, but we didn't. A lot of Denard Robinson, who, as much as I like him, I don't think he's really the best choice in that. I was wondering what the issue was with Corey Grant at running back.
Well, I don't think Corey is number one. He's not a between the tackle running back, in my opinion, this time. He's explosive, has great straight line speed. I don't think he has great change of direction speed. And I think that's one of the reasons he's not returning kicks any longer, because Marquise is better, number one, at it. And Marquise has change of direction and explosion. Corey Grant's a guy, once he gets – if he gets a crease, now watch out. But there's not – it takes him some time to change direction. So I think that's why you're not seeing him. And Denard missed a couple cuts yesterday. I think he could have made better, especially early when he first got in there. But he also had some really nice runs. And so I don't want to be – let's not be too hard on Denard. He doesn't get a lot of reps. He's been the third running back, mainly a special teams guy, has been called on very little. I thought he missed some, at times yesterday that could have been better, bigger runs. But he also – he had a really good run late in the game where he's patient, let the block set up, cut back, and got a 8 or 9 yard gain. So I would play Denard before I played Corey Grant in running in those type of situations.
Tony, what about Marquise Lee as the punt returner?
I think they were one. I think he should be our number two receiver. I think him and A-Rob should be starting.
He is the number two. Is,
no,
he
but
is
he's not starting. He's not right
no,
now.
No, but he will be. He should be.
That's my opinion.
Mine too.
And he's returning kicks. And so that's a lot. And, you know, do you want your number two receiver and one of your main offense and threats as your primary punt returner as well? And I don't think he is – he does a good job of catching punts, but maybe not the best 100% fielding them all the time.
Yeah.
So I think I would put Marquise in there as the punt returner if he's standing outside the 30. So a midfield type of punts. If I'm backed up, I would use Brian Walters right now because Rashad Greene is
– What happened to Rashad Greene?
He's lost. I have no idea. He can't catch it. I mean, the second one, he misjudged so bad. You could see it from the booth. I'm like, he's not going to catch this. And
the Jacksonville Jaguars have never had – I mean, since what, Reggie Barlow maybe?
Yeah.
When was the last –
Might have been it.
I'm not sure we have ever had a great punt returner, have we, Pete?
No, because he wasn't even a great punt returner.
No,
he just
was
caught
good.
It and ran.
Yeah.
Dave on the line still. You had one more point. What's up?
Yeah. I just wanted – this is mainly for Tony. I noticed the Lions game and then yesterday, two plays kind of similar out in the flat, whether it was a screen or whatever. But one of the offensive linemen comes out and tries to cut block a cornerback both times and just completely whips it. It kind of ruined the play. And I just want to know if you saw that and –
Well,
is that normal to cut block like that and fix, or is that just bad play?
It's all timing. Screen's all about timing. And if you're an offensive lineman, if you get out there early, you can't cut. You got to stay up. Because if you cut early, the guy's going to be able to get up and recover and make the play. When you want to cut is when you time it perfectly as the back's catching it and you are getting out in front. And you can tell by the reaction of the defender, of how they're running and how they're reacting. And so – when you have time and the back has already caught the ball, that's when you can cut block because the back just needs a second, you know, disrupting that defender. But if you're out there early, like they were, I think it was Chris Reed yesterday, got out there early, you got to go high and stay up because if you cut early, they're going to come make the play. But, yeah, people cut all the time on screen game, but it's all time. Our timing right now in our screen game is not very good.
Bad.
We'll come back. More of your calls. The Irritate Baselli half hour will continue. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, the number. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, did a couple zone read things, but I mean, more so it's them. I mean, if guys are going to play two man, you know, it's kind of you sit back and you wait a second, and then you take off as a quarterback because you know there's usually nobody looking at you. So it's kind of just taking advantage of what they do more so on some of that stuff.
Blake Bortles yesterday discussing running the football against the Buffalo Bills. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls, phone lines open, 355-NFL1.
My back's tight, man.
You're on the list. You're
Hollywood,
gonna be
Hollywood just got me stretching the back. I'm trying to get loose here.
What's wrong? What have you done?
I worked out this morning, and after the workout, I just grabbed. Got tight, and it's just gotten tighter all day.
Are you going to add that to your 75 surgeries you've had?
No, it's just muscle. No more surgery. I'm done having surgery.
How many surgeries have you had, Tony?
Too many, Pete. I don't want to count. I've had 5 shoulder surgeries. I know that.
2 hip replacements.
2 hip replacements. 2 hip scopes. That's 4. That's 9.
Wow.
I've had 2 knee surgeries. That's 11. And I had 1, 2, 3 ankle surgeries. 14.
And some nights on here, some people thought you had your brain taken out at some point.
I had brain surgery. Let's hope I don't have to have that. That'd be bad.
What's impressive is that Lagerman can tell you how many surgeries and who did them and in what situation of the game they happened in.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about it. I get depressed.
I remember when he tore his triceps.
Or his bicep.
biceps. Yeah, that's right. It's in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
First game of the year, 97.
I remember when you hurt your knee the first time in Stevens Point, and they sent the private plane for you. I remember that.
That's how I roll, Pete.
First round pick. Gets treated well.
I will never let him forget that. You know that, right?
That's fine. I was not. I'm okay with it.
Well, Hollywood.
I thought all players were equal under Tom Coughlin.
No way. Come on. You know that's not true.
Well, Hollywood Baselli over here. Phone lines. Terrence is on a cell phone. Terrence, you're on the air.
This should be fun. This might put me in a bad mood. What do you got, Terrence?
Tony. Hey, Tony. Hey, Pete and JP.
Hey, what's up, Terrence?
Tony.
Hey.
I see you bracing yourself now, but Tony, will y'all slow down on firing Gus Bradley? Because
hold on, Terrence. Huh? Wait a second. Did you just say will you slow down on firing Gus Bradley?
Yeah.
Do you listen to the show? Because I get criticized for saying everything positive. I don't know. I don't think any. I mean, Pete's fired him 15 times, but I haven't.
No, I didn't fire. I'm saying he's getting fired. That's a given. It's a given.
But Pete. If he wins the next five games, Gus
he'd still have one of the worst records in the history of coaching.
But Pete, if he goes on a roll, and he has not lost the locker room yet, so if
If he won the last five games, he'd still have one of the all-time worst records in the history of coaching.
I know people are going to. You're going to the next season with momentum now.
No, I don't believe that.
Mo will be on your side,
Big
Pete.
Big Mo, you got to have it.
Big Mo, I'm with Terrence here, man.
Look, I don't want anybody to lose their job. I never condone anybody losing their job, but the fan base is correct on this one. He isn't coming back.
Terrence, Pete, I can't comment. I refuse to have this conversation about firing or next coach or anything until a decision is made by my boss, because I don't make those decisions.
Is that Joe Fortunato?
No, it's Shad Khan.
Okay.
Or it's Mark Lamping via Shad Khan. Via Dan Orson.
Okay. I thought that he's going to stay. I wanted to stay, and I think he's going to go somewhere else, and we blow him out, and he's going to win multiple Super Bowls with another team, and we're going to be mad again, and we got to be careful what we do here. So
tough to argue.
I'm going to win three or four Super Bowls somewhere else.
Tough to argue.
No, not happening. Tony,
well,
you have as much chance to become the general manager of the Jaguars as Gus has about coming back.
Pete, I'm not talking about it, so I'm not commenting. Then I don't want the GM's job. I like him. I like Dave. I don't want it. I'm not looking to replace Dave.
I'm not looking to replace Dave either. But if you offer me a job, I take it.
I'd have to consider it. I'm not talking about. First of all,
Terrence is out of here.
Heck of a job, right, Joe. Way to pay attention over there. That's our producer really not doing anything right now. I'm not talking about jobs. I'm not talking about Gus getting fired or if he's going to get fired.
Fans call in. They want to talk.
That's
about
fine.
The
then you
issues.
Talk about it. And I'm not talking about Dave's job either. By the way,
I think Dave's coming back, and I think Gus is on his way out. I mean, that's the reality of it.
And that's your opinion. You can talk about it. You do whatever you want.
I'm not. You act like I'm happy about it. I told you before.
Well, there's a smile in your voice right now.
I can see you.
Gus Bradley might
be
one of the.
We can see you. You're smiling right now.
Gus Bradley might be one of the five nicest men I've ever met in the National Football League. Okay.
Well,
I've been around this a long time.
Well,
but that.
Well, all the nice guys stay away from you.
Yeah, you're probably true about that. But you got to separate that, Tony. You got to separate it out.
I'm not trying to say I'm not separating or keeping anything in, Pete. I'm not talking about it. And I wouldn't talk about it if I disliked Gus, I wouldn't talk about it. If I remember correctly, wouldn't talk about it when Mike Mularkey was here. It's not our job. It's not my job. I'll talk about the team, I'll give my opinions of the team. And I've said at the end of the year, Gus and the staff, Dave and his team, will be evaluated by the owner, Shad Khan, and he will make a decision whether he thinks it's good enough to move forward or not. Bottom line, so what's going to happen?
If somebody handed you a piece of paper with Gus Bradley's record on it and everything that's gone on there, you and it was somebody else other than this organization, Tony Boselli would say, how does he still have a job? I mean, that's the reality of it. And I'm not sitting here piling on Gus. That's just the reality of the situation, Tony.
Did he not hear me say, JP? No, I'm not going to talk about it.
I heard you. I heard you while you were tap dancing around.
I'm not tap dancing. Tap dancing is trying to avoid. I'm not avoiding. I'm just telling you I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, that means you're avoiding it. That's the same thing.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe it is the same.
Well, tap dancing would be like me trying to answer the question while not really answering it. That's what I consider tap dancing. I'm telling you, I'm not going to talk about it.
You're avoiding it.
No, it's not my job. I'm not going to make it. I don't have. He'll be evaluated.
Don't you got to start looking to the future to figure out what might be next for this team?
If you're going to get rid of Gus, then yeah, it's a conversation. I'm sure that Shad will start happening if that's the decision he makes. I mean, he hasn't asked me if you want to know. I mean, it's not like Shad's calling me and saying what I think.
You want me to throw out some candidates out there for you?
No. Not particularly.
You really want to put me in a bad place, sure.
No, I'm just messing around.
No, you're not.
Look, it's
I already
look,
saw you on ever, I already like, saw you on Twitter, Pete.
You, look, like I said, you don't want people to lose their jobs ever, but this is a cold, cruel business.
It is
and
that.
When you get into that business, you get paid a lot of money in that business. And when things don't go right, you lose your job. That's the reality of it.
And I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. And at 2-9 this year, when the expectations are high and everyone thought that the talent was there to be better, whether it's the head coach's fault or not, and it always ends up there one way or another. I agree with you. That's how the NFL works.
Right. So
I'm not disagreeing with anything you said there.
No. And again, I go back to what I said about him being.
I just don't want to talk about it.
I know he's one of the most stand-up, nice guys, class acts I've ever been around in the NFL. And I would, you know me, I don't throw that around, those words very, very much when it comes to people I've dealt with in the NFL. And I sincerely mean that. But the reality is, it has no bearing on what happens on the football field.
Absolutely, Pete. You're exactly right. I mean, we've said from the beginning that everyone will be judged based on how this year goes. In the determination, and I said it when they were 0-3 and people wanted him fired after Indy. And if he lost Indy, then he should be fired. And I said I wouldn't do it because I'd wait to the end of the year until the entire body works in for this year and make a decision at that point. Right now, it is trending in the wrong direction.
But there's still games to go in
five games
body
left.
Of work.
See where you end up at the end of the year.
Let's get one more call in before we're done tonight. Sean in Orange Park. Sean, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Big fan of this show. It's probably my favorite radio show of the week.
It's mine, too.
Well, thanks.
But I just want to make a few comments here and take my questions off the air. First comment being that why didn't Gus Bradley call that timeout when you see the clock winding down to and we end up getting a 5-yard penalty? Isn't that up to the coach to actually help the quarterback?
He took responsibility for that today.
So yes. I will say this. Ultimately, yes, it is Gus's job, and he should have called timeout. It's a tough one to call in the sense of you have two left. If you don't get it, you need those to try to get the ball back. And it's not like you're at home where he's going through the cadence and you can tell where he is. It's all silent count. So as a coach on the sideline, and they had already two or three times, maybe even that drive, but
gotten them off, right?
In the fourth quarter where it was tight and they were getting it off. And so my guess is Gus is sitting there saying, all right, is it going to get – because I want to save that timeout, and not knowing exactly where they are in the process of that silent count operation, it makes it tough. But ultimately it's Gus's responsibility. You know, you got to err on the side in that situation when it's fourth and four by calling the timeout. In a perfect world, though, the quarterback who's out there knows exactly where they are in the process. Blake should have called it. That would be the first choice. But it is Gus's – it's his responsibility as the head coach to make sure it gets done if the quarterback misses it.
Hey, thanks for that, Tony. And I just hope and I pray that you make it to the Hall of Fame because you were the greatest Jaguar of all time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And to Pete Frisco – I think he brought up a good point. I know, Tony, you don't want to hear it, but there's one name out there that's been roaming around. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but John Gruden. Bring Chucky Ball to Duval. Thanks for the call, guys.
No. I don't think Chucky Ball is coming back from out of the booth.
He's making too much money and not working.
He's making too much money, and he doesn't have the pressure of wins and losses. I mean, what's not to like about that?
He wins every week.
Right.
I thought he was going to say, we love Tony Boselli. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I hope you get in. And Pete Prisco's a swell guy, too. I thought he was going
to He wins every week, and sometimes the audience loses by listening to him.
You don't like him, huh?
I want to see him be more critical, and then instead of saying every guy's a joker. He's a joker. That guy's a stone-cold killer. He's a joker.
I thought that's pretty good, Pete. I thought he's gotten better at that. That was my criticism the first couple years, but I think he's pretty critical now. I think he does a good job.
I mean, he's gotten better at it compared to what he was. The first couple of years, he still wanted to be a coach. You could tell. You know, it's kind of like a media member who goes into the booth and still thinks he's a player. You know, because he might go back. You know what I mean?
Is that what you're saying about me, Pete?
No. You know that career's been long gone. You kidding me? You're 60 now. What are you talking about?
I might try to make a comeback, Pete. You never know.
Not with that back.
Hey, the way the tackles play in the NFL, if you put on 30 pounds and get away from Dr. DSPSS, you might be able to play in the NFL right
now.
Did
you see Ty Sambrello last night?
Oh, my gosh. He was a spinning top. He reminded me of Brian DeMarco.
I mean, no, Brian's better than that. I think I could just get in the way longer than he did.
It was awful. Tony, they kept, you know, like Collinsworth even pointed out, they kept letting him, he didn't attack him. He let him come to him.
Well, fine, but just get in his way. Dude, just stand there, make him run over you. It was amazing.
You know what's even more amazing about it? And we talk all the time about, and there's a lot of people out there criticize some of the moves Dave made. Like, let's face it, Julius Thomas is a crappy move, okay? Jared Odrick on the surface is a crappy move. But John Elway is the same guy that gets praised all over the place. He signed Donald Stevenson to be his right tackle, and he's been benched for that spinning top.
Healthy scratch.
Yeah, and then on the other side, they signed
Was Sambrella second or third round pick?
Second. And then you got Okung, who he signed as a free agent, who stinks too. I mean, you know, everybody blows mistakes.
But you know as well as I do, when you win it,
yep,
you got a lot of, you know, chips to play with. You really got to screw it up once you win one.
Well, you also found Chris Harris is an undrafted free agent, who's now one of the better corners in the league, so you get double marks for that.
We'll come back and look around the National Football League. Get ready.
Yeah, I want to hear about Pete. I'll direct this one, JP. I want to hear about Pete in the Denver game last night.
I think we will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll hear about it.
Yeah, Pete, JP would have got off track, I'm just telling you.
That's great. Come meet the legends of wrestling December 11th. The Jags meet the Vikings. Visit jaguars.com/wrestling. You can watch the game with Ric Flair, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan, and more. Use promo code WRESTLING2016 when you visit jaguars.com/wrestling. We'll talk about the Denver game and more when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Thanks for the calls tonight on the Irritate Boselli half hour.
You know what? They were good calls.
Quit coughing. What are you doing? I mean, cut it out, man. Get a hold of yourself.
It's almost funny that it came full circle. He was giving you crap, and there he is.
No, but mine. Mine wasn't phlegm, Pete. I had a peanut.
Coughed
all
over me. No, what are you talking about?
He had like that gross green phlegm coming out as he's coughing.
You were gonna have to do the Heimlich maneuver on him to get a peanut out of him.
Yeah, a peanut.
Is that allowed on your program? The peanuts?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's supper, lunch, and breakfast. That peanut. What are you talking about?
All the protein he can have.
Fat boy.
Let's go around the National Football League, and let's start off with the AFC South. We'll get the power rankings from you guys as well on Thanksgiving night. No Andrew Luck. Steelers over the Colts 28-7. Yes, you were. Titans beat the Bears 27-21. and the Chargers beat the Texans 21-13. So if you
Colts,
yeah, what happened with the Colts? No luck.
They didn't have
no.
Luck.
That wasn't the issue, Pete. They had goal to go situations inside the one twice and never got it in.
But they still didn't have luck.
I know, but if they get those two in, it's 21-21, Pete.
If they have luck, they get them in, probably. Right?
No, I don't know.
If they have luck, they win the game.
Probably. I do agree with that. But Tolzien wasn't bad, and he wasn't the problem. Huge drop by T.Y. Hilton, and he gets hurt. Huge drop on a touchdown by Philip Dorsett. Had some big drops. Moncrief had a drop. I thought Tolzien until the end played pretty well.
What about the Titans?
You did that game, didn't you, Tony?
Yeah, I just said.
Oh. It's like they're going to win a division, aren't they?
Yeah.
Colts?
Tennessee.
Colts.
I mean, it's either going to be Tennessee or Indianapolis. It's not going to be Houston.
Well, if they tie, they beat the Titans twice, so there's a big edge for them right there.
All right.
Yeah. The Titans are playing a little better, though, right? Just in general right now overall?
Yeah, but
did you say that?
I think the Colts are going to win it all.
The division,
should
not
Houston,
all.
Should the Texans sit down Brock Osweiler?
He's not very good.
Yeah, but what do they got? I mean, you have Tom Savage?
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't have any options, but he's not very good. Let's do the power rankings real quick.
That's easy.
Okay, go.
I'll put the Titans 1. I'll put the Texans, the Colts 2, the Texans 3, and the Jaguars 4.
We agree.
See, that was pretty easy.
I didn't.
See?
I thought he was going to go back to his usual. Well, the Texans have the best record, so we're going to put
I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're very good.
Who's been saying that for the entire time? Me.
Congratulations, Tony. Let's discuss this Chiefs-Broncos thriller last night. Overtime down to the end. Field goal.
I fell asleep.
Expired.
What happened, Pete? Because I was the
All right,
Chiefs
three
had
– 3 minutes
took the lead when I fell asleep.
Well, okay. Well, you saw the – did you see when the Broncos were up one, okay?
Okay.
And – they hit the Chiefs had no timeouts left. It was 3 minutes.
No, I did not
20
see
seconds.
This. No.
Okay. Well, they hit a fluke. Wasn't a fluke pass, but they hit a bad play by the defensive back, and the wide receiver Benny Fowler caught it and went all the way down and scored a touchdown. Now there were some people theorizing that he shouldn't have scored the touchdown. He should have gone down on the one. They could have taken three knees. The clock essentially would have run out, and then they maybe could kick the field goal. Or even if they scored, they would have burned off more timeout. I don't buy that. I still think you score. But what I had a problem with.
Oh, I know what it is. They didn't go for two.
Correct.
It could have ended the game right there.
And if you don't score.
Doesn't matter. They're going to kick a field goal and it's going to be overtime anyway.
Kick the extra they're going to kick the extra point, you mean, when they score their touchdown.
That's right. They're going
right.
to kick the extra point.
So he didn't do it. He kicked the extra point. They go down. They hadn't done anything all day, but, of course, you know how that is in the NFL. Even if you don't move it all day, all of a sudden you get hot, you move the ball. In that situation, they scored a touchdown. Boom, get the two-point conversion, overtime.
What was their two-point play?
Now, overtime.
What was the two-point play they ran?
It was a pass to
Kelsey?
No. Or was it Kelsey? It was a pass in the middle of the field. I can't remember who caught it. But Tyreek Hill scored the tying touchdown.
Tyreek Hill is amazing. He is so fast.
He can fly. He could fly, but remember why he lasted so long? He had the issue off the field.
He had the domestic violence issue, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is it's interesting, and they talked about it last night, that the Chiefs picked him with the issues that they had with the young man who killed his girlfriend. I can't think of his name, but yeah.
Belcher. Javon Belcher. So then they over time they change the ball. But, well, the Broncos have the ball late in the game on a fourth and was it 8 or 9? Fourth and 10, and he decided to go for it. And, I mean, you know, kick a field goal. We're not go for it.
62-yard field goal.
62 yards in that weather.
It's dumb.
It was cold. That was dumb. And they gave the ball back to the Chiefs, and Chiefs got the ball back and doinked the field goal off the uprights to win it. And essentially right now, if the playoffs started today, the Denver Broncos wouldn't be in.
Out. They'd be out.
I have a prediction for you, Pete Briscoe.
Go ahead.
The Jaguars will win this week against the Broncos and will knock the Broncos out of any realistic chance of making the playoffs.
Wow.
Wow.
Throwing it. Is it a lock?
I can't lock it because we're 2-9.
I'm going to make a prediction for you.
But the
Von Miller's going to push the sack record this week.
No, I don't think so. Actually, I don't think so at all, because the one thing Nathaniel Hackett will do is he'll have a good protection game They'll shorten it up. They'll do some different things. They'll chip him all day long. So I don't think he will. Yeah. And I think they'll run the ball decently against him. But I worry about Chris Ivory. That's the only thing. If he's not bad.
Injury, right?
But that offensive line for the Broncos is so bad. They're going to – and the speed of the Jaguars' defense is going to be a problem for him.
So you just called it right here, right now.
In part, and I could be, it's a very emotional pick for me because
I could see
my
that,
little
yes.
brother's coming into town who's a Bronco fan with his son. My entire family, besides my wife and I and my kids, are all Bronco fans.
So you're picking with your heart.
It's a heart pick. It's not a mind pick. And I want the Jags win so bad for multiple reasons, but probably the biggest is so I can call my dad and rub it in his face.
Tony, your parents and your family were probably Jaguar fans when you played, right?
And as soon as I left, they stopped being Jag fans.
Really? So they're back to being Bronco fans, and you're getting them tickets to come in and be Bronco fans.
That's great, Tony.
I'm getting my brother tickets. Yes, my brother and my nephew are coming. What am I going to do, make him sit at home?
Or pay?
No, I told them they're not allowed to wear Bronco gear, but I'll give them, if they come, they can have tickets.
Well, it shouldn't be hard to find them tickets.
Well, I don't know if you know this, Pete, but I got a bunch of season tickets myself.
Okay.
Let's continue in the AFC West. The Raiders held off the Panthers rally 35-32. Derek Carr did his thing with a bad finger, played through it. Khalil Mack with a closing sack to end the game, as good pass rushers do.
Did you see the finger?
Yeah, it looked
good.
Yeah,
it was pretty nasty.
And then he put the glove back on and went and played. I mean, they almost blew that game, but they found a way. They're not good enough on defense, though, to beat New England right now.
No.
As they're constructed right now, they're just not that good on defense. I see too many flaws for all the money they spent on that side of the ball. Irvin, Sean Smith, Reggie Nelson.
Pete, if they played Pittsburgh in the playoffs, I would pick Pittsburgh.
You know what's funny, Tony? Every week, every single week, we sit here and we look at it and we go, who the heck is any damn good in this league?
Nobody. New England
Dallas?
And Dallas, that's it.
That's it, right?
New England and Dallas. Outside of that, none of them are good.
I mean,
and
a week
Seattle
ago, we
Seahawks
were sitting here.
Prove that.
Yeah, we were sitting here raving about the Seattle,
I know,
but their offensive line was putrid
so
on
bad.
Sunday.
Five sacks of Wilson, right?
Well, in fairness,
six.
In fairness,
six.
They had no Earl Thomas, no Michael Bennett. They were missing a lot of
guys. That's not the problem. The problem was on the other side of the
ball, I agree with
Tony.
You, Pete. I agree with you. It was bad.
Is Tom Cable a good line coach?
Yes. They've invested no resources in their offensive line. Yes, Tom Cable's
a
very good
offensive
line. Yeah,
but they look like they were getting better, and then they took a major regress. Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly
like – aren't they
on
their third center?
Yeah, but it's not exactly like they're the greatest team in the world rushing the passer that was opposite them the other day.
Gerald McCoy's a good player now.
And you know who's starting to play well? Noah Spence.
Noah Spence can rush passer. Cannot play the run to save his life.
No.
He's right behind Ngakoue in rookie sack leaders right now.
Yep.
5.5 for Spence, 6 for Ngakoue.
Ngakoue needs to get 4 more. A little double digit to kick off his career.
That'd be a pretty good – we haven't had that in a while around here.
No.
When was the last time there was a double digit sack guy around here?
I don't know.
Brackens?
No.
Bobby McCray. Bobby McCray was a double digit sack guy.
Yeah.
Been a while. Been a long time.
Not good.
A couple more games. Let's see. The Saints and the Rams. Jared Goff, 3 touchdown passes and a loss, but Drew Brees did his thing on the other side. Finally, Goff getting some time.
How do you look, Pete?
He threw a dart to Tavon Austin for a touchdown. He threw a couple other nice throws. He looked good.
Care about is this. How did he look in the pocket? Did he handle the pressure?
Not bad. He's not skittish or anything.
Okay, good.
What I want to know is why it took him so long.
It's Jeff Fisher, man. You know. I mean, he's got a –
he was trying to save his job, wasn't he?
Is he going to keep his job, Pete?
I don't know. I don't think so. He hasn't got an extension yet, so I don't
know. You know this year.
You know who else might be?
You know
Les Snead might be in trouble, too.
Really? Well, Greg Robinson, their number 2 overall pick 2 years ago, was a healthy scratch. I said it back then. I would not have picked him that high. I would have picked Jake Matthews, who the Falcons ended up taking about 6. Because I thought it would be a struggle for Robinson to play left tackle in this league because he had never shown that he could pass block because he never had to do it at Auburn. So you were picking
a
guy based on athletic ability only.
He's not been good as a run blocker. He's been terrible as a run blocker too, which is strange considering he was at Auburn. But at Auburn, they don't drive block. They do that pass and tap stuff, you know?
Weird. So I wouldn't have picked him.
He should have went to Alabama, JP. Would have learned how to play offensive.
That's right, right. See, you're finally getting it, Pete. Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers and the underachieving 4-6 Green Bay Packers at the rookie quarterback having Philadelphia Eagles. They're 5-5. Who you got?
Eagles who?
What?
I wasn't listening. Who are the Eagles
playing?
The
Green Bay Packers.
Packers.
The underachieving 4-6 Green Bay Packers. That was part of the intro.
Packers are terrible.
Who you got, Pete?
Who do you like?
Where is the game at? Philly?
Philly.
I'm going Philly.
I like Green Bay.
Philly's defense is good. And if they get after Aaron Rodgers, they're not going to be able to run the ball. If I'm not mistaken, they have zero rushing touchdowns by a running back this year.
I like Green Bay. I think this is going to be a Rodgers moment. He's going to light them up. And
that's because you have a man crush on Rodgers. That's the only reason.
The Eagles have some offensive line issues, too, tonight. Yeah. The couple
I'm just
guys are
you,
out.
You,
so.
Have a, you love Rodgers. You love Aaron Rodgers.
Great player.
You see through all his flaws.
Would you take him on your team?
Yes, of course I would.
Would you take him on your team before almost every quarterback in the league?
No. Not this year. I'd take Tom Brady before I took him. I would take Drew Brees right now before I took him. I'd take Phillip Rivers before I took him.
Okay. I wouldn't.
I'd probably take Ben Roethlisberger right now before I took him.
You know, for all the crappy year you think that he's having, he still has numbers comparable to a lot of those guys. I hate to tell you that.
But something's not right, Pete. Now, maybe, in fairness, it might be just the offense, and maybe it's not him. But the whole operation, something ain't right.
Pete, have a great show tonight.
All right, guys.
I'd probably take him above all those guys except for Brady.
Von Miller, sack record. Single game sack record on Sunday.
You want to put a side wager on that?
No, I don't.
See you, Pete. Pete Prisco.
See you guys.
CBS Sports senior writer with us on Jaguars Monday. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. You're going to say something, Tony.
Are we done, too?
No, we got one more segment.
Okay.
It's you and I.
My least favorite time of the year.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final few moments.
Yes.
With Tony Vaselli, JP Shadrick, Jaguars Monday.
I can't believe we're 2-9. Just stinks.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Stinks.
Well, believe it. It's the truth.
Thanks, JP.
Six losses in a row after 2-3. You thought, okay, ooh. And then there was the two bad ones in a row. Oakland and Tennessee, the performances.
Well, I wouldn't compare Oakland and Tennessee. Tennessee was really bad.
Oakland was
a game we should have had a chance to win.
And then the last four have been real close and really had chances to win those games. So either way, it's six L's in a row.
It's bad. It's bad. I mean, it's just so disappointing because you look at things, you're like, gosh. You know, in years past, you were like, we really didn't have a chance.
Yeah, like, I mean, 2013, you knew that team was not going to perform well.
Even 14, it wasn't like there was many opportunities you saw.
Right. Right.
15, you started seeing glimpses, but the defense was so bad. Now this year it's like, golly, we find ways to lose.
New ways each week,
and
it seems.
It's amazing to me.
It really is. And
it's frustrating. I know the guys are frustrated more than us.
There's no doubt about that. I think they are. But, hey, they get three home games in the month of December. A little home cooking might help maybe, right?
Well, yeah, but when you're 2-9, sometimes the home cooking turns into home booing. That's never.
We've heard that story around here.
It's never fun. Yeah. So, and I don't blame the fans for booing. I mean, they buy the tickets, boo. If you're not happy, I get that. But it's not as quite as fun to come home when the boo birds are going to be out. So, but you control that as a player, and from the sense of start fast,
play
get
better.
It going.
Yeah, play better.
And the crowd, fans are fickle. That's what fans are, and by nature, everywhere. And when you're doing well, they're ready to jump on that. And cheer you loud, and when you're not doing well, they're going to let you know too. And that's part of being a fan. That's the fun part of being a fan, is expressing your emotions.
What did Blake famously say a few weeks ago when he was asked about the booing and all that? He said, "Well, fans don't like players; they like winning." And that's
I disagree with that a little bit. because at least me individually, the fans have been great from the day I got here until. And well, I've had my back and forth with the fans a little bit. But they've been
let's go through those.
No, it's not.
Yes, please. They've I been, was not here. I don't know.
But they've been great
about.
And supportive. And I haven't won a football game in a long time. And I still feel like they care about me. They put up with me and some of the things I say on the radio. And they like to yell at me on Twitter. But for the most part, the fans.
Other than that.
No, but the fans that I see around town, they've. So I don't think they just are tired of losing. Like, I think they like this team. I think they like the players. They just want to win.
I agree.
So
I agree with that.
I don't know. What do I know, though, JP? I just blocked for a living.
You're just an old left tackle. That's all you are. So the Jaguars and the Denver Broncos. Broncos at 7-4. We've gone through it. They need the game. As if it ended today, they would not be in the playoffs. They'd be the ninth team. So it is – or what the – yeah, they'd be out. So – yeah. They need a win badly. They're back into their schedule. The last three games is murderer's row. It's the Patriots and then the Chiefs and then the Raiders to end the season.
They're not
going to
make the playoffs.
They're not making it.
They're going to lose this week.
Oh, this week? Okay.
They're going to be.
They get the Titans next week, too.
They're going to be 7-5 after this week. And I think they end up. I think they'll end up. 10-6 might get them in as a wild card. 9-7 doesn't.
Yeah, right now they're the seventh team. They are not in the hunt. Or they're in the hunt, but they're not in the playoffs if it ended.
No,
today.
We're
That's
not.
I meant.
We're not.
The
in
Jaguars
the
are not in the hunt. Well, technically in the graphic, they're still in the hunt. If you want to go there, less
I'd rather,
than 1% chance.
No, we're not going to do that. That's disrespectful.
I'm not trying to troll anybody. That's just the facts.
That's disrespectful.
Just the facts, man.
Bad facts.
Tony, great show. We'll see you later.
Do you expect anything less?
No, I don't.
I always bring my best.
You always bring.
I try to bring the hit. I always try to bring the heat, Ricky.
It just got brought for Tony Maselli, Pete Prisco, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching on Jaguars.com and listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.